My guest at this time is Barbara Franklin, who served as Secretary of Commerce in the George H.W. Bush administration. She is now President and CEO at Barbara Franklin Enterprises. Today, we've asked her to weigh in on the issue of trade and some of the arguments we're hearing on the presidential campaign trail. Is free trade good or bad for America? And do we need to renegotiate some of our trade agreements to make them more beneficial to this country? We'll get into all of that and more in the next few minutes. And Secretary Franklin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me with you.
Obviously, this is a fairly complex issue, so hopefully we can distill some of these important concepts in the few minutes we have together. Just to begin, and let's start with some of the concepts I mentioned in the introduction, it may be simplifying the issue a bit, but do free trade agreements help our economy and our workers? Do they hurt them, or does it depend on how they're negotiated?
Well, you know, I love a quote that is on the outside of the Commerce Building in Washington. Ben Franklin, of course, I like Ben Franklin anyway, since we have the same name. Trade never ruined any nation. Well, I think you could spin that positively and say that trade has really helped every nation. And over the centuries, trade has helped to grow economies and has contributed to more prosperity and just global growth, period. I think the problem today and the negativity we are hearing, which I think is most unfortunate, but I think that what's underlying that is the concern about the loss of jobs. And that, in some places and in some parts of our country and in some other parts of the world, is a very real issue. But what's missing in the dialogue now is that trade really, over the centuries, has been good for growth and for prosperity. So what do we do about the jobs issue? Well, you know, there are trade assistance programs that are typically federally funded but administered by the states that are meant to help those who are dislocated by trade. And this is what happens with trade, because there is a moving of things around the world to where they can be most beneficially or more economically produced. The problem with these programs, and where I'm going to come out here, is that I believe that we need to step back and take a good look at these trade assistance programs. The problem is in the states where they are administered, and of course each state might be different. For those who have been dislocated by trade and have lost a job, they've first got to find the right place in the state bureaucracy to go and make the claim. Look, I have been displaced from a job because of a trade agreement. The difficulty is, that's the first difficulty, of course, is finding the right place in the bureaucracy of a state government. But the even bigger problem is proving that a person has really been displaced from a job because of a trade agreement. That proof, I'm told by those in state governments, is really very, very difficult. So what is happening here is that those programs that were meant to help those who have been who have lost jobs because of a trade agreement, they're just not working. That's my bottom line here. These programs are just not working, and that we really need to take, our society now, our government, a really good look at those programs and see what we can do. Now, on the flip side that you mentioned, trade agreements themselves, you know, we I think our government, whoever is sitting in those chairs, tries to get the best agreements that they can get. And, you know, I guess I leave that up to the judgment of lots of people, whether they're good or not. But on balance, trade agreements have been good for the United States of America and for every other country that's engaged this way. But to come back, I think what we're hearing now has to do with job loss. And that's the part of this that I think we really need to address, we, our society, and our government.
Secretary Franklin, obviously you mentioned the trade assistance programs and they're not working as well as they should. The pushback I'm guessing that you would get certainly from the likes of the Trump and Sanders supporters is, why aren't the jobs still there? Did the trade agreements cost those jobs, and how do we actually quantify that?
Well, I think it's hard to tell whether the trade agreements did lose all of the jobs that those candidates are talking about. I think that's very difficult. And that goes back to my comment earlier about those people who feel they have been displaced because of a trade agreement, and go to tap into these trade assistance programs and have trouble proving that, in fact, the job has been lost because of a trade agreement. I think there's something wrong with this whole process here, and I don't know, sitting where I'm sitting at this moment, how we fix it. What I do know, though, is that the first step here has got to be to look at what we have on the books now. And some of this is federal statutes. Like I said, the money is federally allocated, but it's the states then that administer all of this. I think we need to look at this whole thing and say, okay, how really can we do this better? I think it's crucial that this happen. Whoever the next president is going to have to deal with this.
One of the things that Donald Trump also talks about a lot is our trade deficits. He specifically mentions China, Japan, and Mexico repeatedly. Would renegotiating any of those make a sizable difference in our trade balance and potentially impact our job situation? And if not, what would put us in a stronger position?
Well, I do think going forward then, if we're changing our collective mindset about what is a good trade agreement, then we've really got to make sure our trade negotiators totally understand that, and those would be federal government appointees. So each president can appoint those people. And that should be another thing that is looked at closely. Who is sitting in these jobs? What do we really want out of these trade agreements? What are our objectives? The new president's going to have to deal with that. I think it's very difficult to renegotiate agreements that are already in force, certainly, and signed off on. Very difficult. I know that there's talk about that with respect to the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has not been voted on by our country, and other countries are waiting now for us. Whether that would have a question as to whether we could go back and renegotiate that, and whether our partners, the other countries in the mix, would agree with that, I don't know. I suppose the new president, either one that you mentioned, might want to try to do that. I don't know what the answer would be. But if the answer is no, we really can't renegotiate, then I think that one should be passed by our Congress, and we should think ahead to what might be the next such agreement and make sure that if we're changing our mindset and we want to be a little stiffer in one place or another, that those messages are handled by our negotiators. We have the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership under negotiation, too, at the same time. That's with Europe. And I think that one is very important, too. I think both these agreements really are potentially very important to the U.S. and to our economic well-being and growth. But somehow or other, to go back to where we started, the whole message about the advantages of trade in terms of economic growth, that's just been lost in our debate. Part of the problem, too, when you come to job loss, has to do with our economy and the fact that it has been growing quite sluggishly. You know, 2% or 1.5% or 2% or whatever over the last however many years, certainly since the financial crash in 2008, that's part of the problem, too. That's part of the problem, too. We really do need stronger growth in the U.S., at least 3% GDP growth, and hopefully more, and we're not getting it. And I think some of that reflects governmental policies or lack of policies that would be meant to stimulate economic growth. So I think that's a piece of the jobs puzzle as well that is going to have to be addressed by the new president and new administration.
We're talking with former U.S. Commerce Secretary Barbara Franklin. And Barbara, just a couple of quick questions in our remaining time with you today. We've talked about how Trump and Bernie Sanders have certainly made a big issue of this on the campaign trail, saying that trade deals have hurt our economy and hurt our workers. Hillary Clinton, who as Secretary of State worked to set up the framework for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is now opposed to it. So clearly this issue is resonating. What do you make of the size this issue has become on the campaign trail? And what would you like to hear from the candidates as this campaign continues?
I'm very concerned that trade has got such a black eye in this campaign from literally all the candidates that you have mentioned, and that we have just lost the idea of centuries, that started centuries ago, that blossoming trade really does help economic growth. I would like to hear a difference of a point of view from the candidates, but I don't think I will. I think we're going to have to wait until we have a new president in office and start to really illuminate more discussion in the country about trade, about what we want out of our trade agreements, what we want out of job creation. And as I said, some of the job creation issue comes right back to economic growth. And how would those candidates really work to accelerate economic growth so that there would be the opportunity for more job creation? I think it's not one simple thing here. I think it's a mix of things. It's trade, but it's economic growth. It's whether we have too much regulation. What else do we have? We have a tax code that's outdated. We've got a bunch of things here that I really think need to be looked at afresh and say, okay, this is where we want to go. Our objective is higher economic growth, reducing our trade deficits or whatever, and then really work on all of those fronts. We have a golden opportunity when we will have a new administration to step back and do some of that kind of thinking, and I would hope that whoever the next president is will set upon that task upon himself or herself to do it and work with the Congress to make all that happen.
Last question before we let you go. The issue, especially from the Trump campaign, has been that if things can't be renegotiated effectively, that perhaps tariffs would be in order for imports from those countries where he believes we're getting the worst end of the deal. What would be the impact of that?
I don't think that we can just slap tariffs onto another country, another country's products, any country. I think there would be challenges through the World Trading, the WTO, World Trade Organization, and there would just be confusion and concerns, and I just don't think that's really a very practical thing to be doing. And I'm hopeful that the rhetoric about doing things like that will quiet down, because I don't think it's a very good thing to do economically, first of all, but it's also not very practical to do. So hopefully that rhetoric is going to get lost in the ether.
Secretary Franklin, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Barbara Franklin served as Secretary of Commerce in the George H.W. Bush administration. She is now President and CEO of Barbara Franklin Enterprises. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.